Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In the dark, I play my dreams. Purple boats and flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy, but the no.
Welcome to episode 333 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Oh, yeah. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from Two Old Crows Homestead. .com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. Yeah, still waiting on those testing results, but folks, I'll just give you what I got so far. For me, it's out of my hands. It's in the hands of the engineers, and I think I kind of leaked out a little bit of it last week, but anyway, from what he was telling me, he's seeing non-detect on the things that matter, so as soon as we get that information out there, y'all, I'll be sure to all the people out there that are asking, well, how do I replicate this? How do I do this? I'll have it for you, but I can't go off half-cocked because there are so many people waiting. Son, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are so many people waiting, not good people, waiting with bated breath to find one little chink in the armor, one thing I get wrong, one thing we get wrong, and they're going to jump all over it. So, just hang loose, y'all. I'm going to try to do an update video here this week sometime, but folks, when I say we're going from dawn till dusk, I literally mean we are going from dawn till dusk right now. We are just now starting to see a little bit of daylight ever since that hurricane happened. I'm looking out this window right now, and I'm seeing trees that are still down. So we're still digging out. I mean, that's the result of this stuff. But hey, as always, y'all, I want you to give a thumbs up and a hat tip to Renewed Homestead over there. They always handle Denise in particular is handling the chat. So you know the deal, don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. So yeah, and we're going to cover a little bit of an article that she just sent me this morning that I didn't know about. And folks, it might have a little something to do with that hurricane that happened here a little while back, but we'll come to that in a minute. Anyway, we will jump right into it. Want to thank everybody in the house tonight, by the way. If you would, hit that thumbs up, tell everybody we're live, because they are doing a wonderful job of trying to suppress us. So, in fact, William was asking me right before something. What did you ask right before we went live?
Well, it was funny because I was asking, like, literally the minute before going live was how did that panhandling video go? And literally some of the first comments in the chat were they loved that the begging video. Victory Garden said, I love that begging video. Renewed Home said, we'll work for jokes. Yeah, there were a couple other comments talking about that. But yeah, that video, okay, y'all. And I said this last Thursday. I think it was last Thursday. I said it at some point. But the difference between most panhandlers and what Dad was doing is that Dad was looking at people, eye-to-eye contact, standing right in front of them like, you gonna break bread? Like, he's making direct eye contact with these videos or with these people. And they don't know. Some of these people in Asheville have never been approached by a homeless person so direct before. Dad straight up told one person, you ain't going anywhere. I'm just going to talk to you or something like that.
Well, he had the windows down. He had the windows down. He's got a red light. What's he going to do? I wish there was a lot of it that you had to cut because the mic wasn't able to pick it up because of the distance. So I was too far away. Some of the conversations I had, man, people were in stitches. All the Mexican guys that were coming by, man, they just they were like, he said, hey, Holmes, I ain't got no money, man, but man, this is funny, Holmes. This is funny, Holmes. I mean, I wish you could have caught all of those conversations. Oh, I mean, it's amazing how much could have been captured in 15 minutes, but I was walking back and forth and William was in a stationary position, so the mic just didn't have that kind of distance. So,
well, actually, I found out it wasn't the distance that was the issue. It was the number of vehicles in between us that ended up being the issue. That was ended up being, as I was editing it, that was the correlation.
Well, I mean, the good thing is that, folks, there is a moral to the story. The whole reason I'm bringing that up right now, do you have any idea how many years I've been talking about this? I've been talking about this since I was talking about doing this back when I first got out of the Army. I mean, that's over 30 years ago. And I'm like, man, you know, it's really jaw dropping when I stop to think all these weird things that I got on my bucket list that I've always wanted to see. Like, man, these guys out here, I remember the first time somebody was on a news radio talking about a person holding up a sign, "We'll work for food," and everybody thought it was so compelling, and then everybody else started doing it. And that was, man, 30 years ago. That's hard to believe, but it's been a long, long time ago. Maybe not quite that long, but pretty darn close. No, it had to be about that time. If not that, like I said, pretty close. But anyway, it was compelling, and then next thing you know, every homeless person had "We'll work for food" out there. And then I always wondered, I was like, man, I wonder if you got out there and hold up some funny signs or this or that, that and this, could you actually do something? Could you really raise some money? And could you give it to a good cause? Now, as I said before, I wasn't able to give it to, I said in the video I was going to give it to the first lady I saw. There was nobody in that store except for this old man in a one of those little drivable carts or whatever. And he was thankful. So I'm glad that it went to somebody worthwhile. But believe it or not, folks, that's been on my bucket list for the longest time. And I'm like, with the things going on in this world right now, I better start marking off some of these things because I'm not sure. I know that seems a stupid, crazy thing. But, folks, the exhilaration of doing something that, I mean, I guess in the video, maybe I put on a good face. But honestly, I was a little nervous at first. And then I got to thinking about it. I was like, well, dude. Why on earth? I was a little nervous, I'm saying it's something so far outside of my wheelhouse. I'm not at all concerned about losing subscribers because I did lose some. And frankly, I don't care. But I was nervous about doing, I was nervous about doing something that was so far out of my wheelhouse. It's no different than starting a new job every day, which based on the money, maybe that ought to be my new job. I mean, if you're getting $280 an hour. Good night. And I was there for just a handful of minutes. I mean, folks, I can't even imagine what a person could rack up in the course of a day. And so that was, anyway, something I've wanted to do, wanted to find out with my own two eyes, with my own ears, with my own experience, to find out whether or not you could make some money. And then I was talking to some of the other homeless guys around there. They weren't making anything. So
no.
Here it is. I'm out there in shorts and a t-shirt, clearly not homeless, but people were breaking bread for me, but they weren't for the people that were homeless. So, so anyway.
Also, the people that were homeless around there were very clearly not very hygienic. It's not that they were like, you know, like dirty because they've just been outside for a while. They were like the intentionally funky. It could have been homeless or could have been a hipster. One of those types.
Yeah, I don't know.
You were clearly clean as people were approaching. You're like, okay, this guy isn't like, doesn't look like he's covered in like a quarter inch of mud either.
No. And then honestly, the smell on some of these folks, I mean, it was not like your typical BO. This was drug smell. This was something very, very off. And so I prayed for him. I mean, I did. And my initial thing was to give it to one of those folks there. When I realized what they were going to do, I'm like, there ain't no way I'm giving you I'll feed you anything you want to eat. I'll buy you food, but there ain't no way I'm going to give you cash so you can go out there and buy drugs with it. So anyway, knock that one off the list. And I got a few more I got to get done. Next one is walking into a bakery naked.
Not so, naked. Well, that G-string on or whatever.
I'll be putting something on, but no, I'm waiting for them to impose some kind of mask mandate or whatever. Everybody around here seems to be looking for a reason to do it. When they do it, folks, I will make a viral video that'll probably get me kicked off. But yeah,
that'll be your third strike.
That'll be strike number three. We already got two, so I guess we're pushing it. So folks, if you can't find us here, go check us out on Rumble. Because with the games they're playing right now, I mean, they tanked that last video, even though you can tell by the number of comments how well a video does. And with the number of comments on there, you can tell that this thing was intentionally tanked. So, oh, well, as part of the game, I didn't do it for any of that. I honestly did it because I've always wanted to do it, and I thought it'd be funny, and I thought it was a really good social experiment. So now, hopefully, maybe the homeless in Asheville, instead of holding up a sign, this maybe 6x6 that nobody can read, it's maybe they'll change up their game a little bit. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe I'll go back out there. Anyway, enough of that. So check this out. We had a homeless rooster roll up on here, and when I say homeless, somebody clearly dropped it off here. They see what we do, and they had a rooster apparently they didn't want, and they dropped him off out here. So I let him go for about a week, thinking, okay, well, maybe he'll make his way back home, because we heard a rooster. Your mom and I heard a rooster down the road, and of course, when you live alongside a valley, sound travels for a long, long way. I was like, man, who put chickens over there? So we heard this rooster forever and a day. Next thing I know, he shows up on the property. And I'm thinking it's one of the things where somebody gets a dog they don't want anymore. They can't handle the dog. They go out in the country and they make it my problem. Believe me, that happens, folks, and it happens a lot. Well, somebody did it with this rooster. He was a good-looking rooster, and I got to say, he was tough. If I didn't already have a rooster, I would have thought about keeping him because, we didn't feed I caught your mom feeding him on the sly.
So, of course you did. Yeah, of course mama's feeding him.
Like she's going down there with extra food, and I'm like, what's going on here? Next thing I know, I catch her feeding him. I'm like, why are you feeding him? No wonder he ain't going home. So anyway, he's become something of a nuisance because he's out here tearing up my stuff. And folks, unfortunately, look, if you come to my place and you drop off a rooster, thank you for buying dinner, because that's exactly what he's going to become. So anyway, I had to take him out this morning, and can't have him. I mean, there is a reason, and as part of what we're going to discuss today concerning zoning, there is a reason why we put our chickens in nets. There's a reason why we clip their wings so they can't fly out. There's a reason we manage them the way we do, because we just don't let everything go everywhere. And if you do, number one, is a management nightmare. At least for us. I mean, other people have different ways they go about it, but with the systems that we run out here, I can't. Let's say you go out there and you seed something, okay? Then you got the chicken going out there eating up all the seeds you put in. Or, going into, you want to destroy a mulch ring? Son, am I lying?
Oh, yeah. No, those chickens will absolutely tear it up. In fact, the backdoor neighbors, I got some free trees from the, the Arbor Day Foundation, a bunch of native Texas trees. A bunch of them are on this south side of the house. So in the future, I don't plan on staying in this house very much longer, but in the future, this south side of the house will be shaded. And there's a bunch of oaks and stuff, and I mulched them, but the neighbors' chickens keep getting back out and just tearing up those mulch rings, absolutely destroying it. It's like a bowl by the tree.
Yeah, and folks, that there's a lesson why the chicken tractor on steroids works so well, because those keen eyes of a chicken, they are eating the biota in that compost or in that mulch. You can't see it, but they can. And that's what makes the chicken tractor on steroids so incredible, is that their keen eyesight and their senses enable them to go out there and get after things that you just can't. You're like, well, what on earth are they doing? They're eating, they're pecking, they're scratching. Well, what they're doing at the base of that tree, one chicken getting out can do unbelievable amounts of damage to your mulch rings out there. And let's say you just planted tulips and daffodils and stuff like that. They will scratch that stuff plumb down to where you find bulbs all over the doggone place. So this is why we keep them managed. This is why we keep them moving. This is why we keep them the way we do. Well, anyway, I got this rooster showing up, and hey, man, in the pot you're going to go, you show up to this place. So Yeah, unfortunately, somebody dropping their problems off, and that happens a lot in the country. So we had another little thing happen the other night. So, you know, we got the windows open at night and stuff like that. And, man, we hear, I'm trying to go to sleep. And then your mom says, are you playing something? I get up and go to the bathroom. She says, are you playing something? I'm like, what? No, I didn't even know how to process what she's at. Well, I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. She says, I hear voices. And so, bam, you know, of course, I got guns everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay. And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice, too. Now, I didn't know if it was one of these guys that was up the mountain, that was coming over the side, looking for a hunting dog or something like that. But then, sure enough, there's some guy down yelling probably for his dog or looking to see if anybody was here is my guess. Looking to see if anybody was here. So he's yelling down near the base of the, at the bottom of the mountain, and you can't see him, but you can hear him. So of course, you know, you keep tactical stuff going. I get out there, I know where my avenues of approach are. So I get out there with this coon light and I bam, light him up. And then all of a sudden he shuts up and then he drives away. I think what it was some druggie looking to see if anybody was home. And, you know, out there. So he got in his car, drove away. I'm like, okay, yeah, bro, I know what time it is. So, yeah, we got some weirdos even up around these parts, y'all. So, remember, stay alert, stay alive. As people become more desperate or they're strung out on these drugs, man, who even knows what they're willing to do? But, this is not the kind of place where you just want to show up unannounced, bro.
and if you do, you're going to be tired by the time you get there.
Yeah, you're going to be tired and you're going to be, yeah, I won't
it's
say
the mountains.
Yeah, you're going to have to walk up the mountain, but at the same time, there's a reason why these dogs can be a double-edged sword. So, you know, we got a dog inside that will let you know if anything is near this place. Got a dog outside that will do the very same thing because Milk Boy was already acting up before anything even happened. So, yeah, any would-be druggies that are thinking they're going to come out here or whatever, folks, you got to be thinking about your security all the way around, and you got to have backup to your backup, have your game cams, have all that stuff. So, anyway, other news, we got sheep up in the mountains. And when I say up in the mountains, I'm talking the steep mountains. So thank God that these little sheep are on the mend. And boy, they're young, but man, they're out there eating. They're still nursing and everything, but they're out there being little sheep and they're doing what they're supposed to. So that product I talked about last week, folks, works like a champ.
Yeah. Are you mentioning it? Are you saying the name of it or not?
Well, I'll say I'll give you Delta Mike Sierra Oscar. That's okay. What we were using. And
where do you get that? Where do you go to get that?
You go to Tractor Supply and get it.
Okay.
And my buddy EJ, he blew my mind because, first of all, Mike Adams did a whole series about it. And so I knew we had some. We had the gel. Remember, it's Delta Mike Sierra Oscar. You know, just kind of work it. You'll have to work with it from there because they're looking for anything I talk about of a medical nature, folks. They end up, you know, giving us a strike. So I'm not going to make it easy for them. Anyway, EJ told me about it, and then I remember hearing Mike Adams talk about it, and then EJ had just mentioned it, and then your mom had said, well, let's go give this a shot. Went out there. Folks, when I tell you that we have one of these brown sheep, how it did it, I don't know, but her leg, every single bit of her leg was covered in maggots. Yeah. William, you saw it. It was
the most
awful thing, and I was like, there is no way this sheep is going to survive. No way. Went out there, put that stuff on it. Folks, the next day it had one maggot on there. And today she's running around. You can't even catch her. I mean.
Well, that same day with the one maggot, she was also running around. Like, yeah. They were all, the day after that treatment, they were all doing good. But that girl, she was looking real bad. I was thinking either dad was going to shoot it that day or the next day. And I didn't really think much of, like, I didn't think that stuff was going to help that much that quickly. But, yeah, folks, it made a night and day difference.
If you got any animals, I mean, you want to keep it for yourself too. There's a lot of ways in which it can be used on a human body. So, folks, definitely check this stuff out because a lot of crazy stuff's going on. And speaking of crazy stuff, and this is going to tie into the article that Denise sent me from Substack. And it's, Let me just back up a little bit. We had 3 days in a row. Now, it's not uncommon to get thunderstorms. Yeah. But thunderstorms almost always come from southwest and northeast. Okay. Every rare moment, and I mean exceedingly rare, it'll come out of the east. And you know that when a storm comes out of the east, whenever that happens, you know it's going to be bad. I don't care where I've ever lived, if a storm ever comes out of the east, it's always going to be bad. So all day, the wind is blowing from the southwest, and then all of a sudden, 3 days in a row, 3 days in a row, we get storms that come out of the east that are just absolutely gully washers. I mean, just crazy. And I'm like, okay, yeah, chemtrails doing the whole nine yards. I'm sure that's got something to do with it. And, of course, the next rad radar towers. And then, lo and behold, I look at my text this morning. Actually, didn't even look at it. I don't even look at my phone in the morning anymore. And there's a reason for that. But anyway, when I finally got around to looking, I saw this article that your mom had already seen before but didn't tell me about. Anyway, Denise sent this article, and it was a Substack article. I wish I could remember the guy's name. Basically, in a nutshell, hurricane data satellites are basically not going to be available anymore. So, yeah, the government spots are, you know, where your tax money, decent places where the tax money should have been going. And if you read the article, you find out that those planes, that they, those hurricane hunters, they don't have enough of them to keep up with the storms and stuff. And it's more localized. But some of the most critical data that we get from satellites, I mean, all of it, where it's collated, the whole nine yards, is basically going away. And I'm thinking, hold on, am I living in an alternative reality? How much money did we just drop on Israel? How much money did we drop in Ukraine? I mean, we are still paying for the retirement packages of government workers in Ukraine. I kid you not. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I just heard her in an article, in an interview, actually, where she was just recently talking about, you know, how is it we're seeing play-by-play of everything that's happening between Israel and Iran, between Israel and Gaza, but you don't see any play-by-play that happened in between Russia and Ukraine. Why is that? I mean, it was a rhetorical question. Anyway, we've sponsored, and she just literally came out with this today, I believe. We're sponsoring so much money over there. The cost of living, the cost of the lives of Americans is getting higher and higher and higher. And the higher it gets, you can look at it on a chart. The higher it gets, the more money we're sending overseas. You got talk about it all the time. Grandparents figuring out whether or not they're going to eat cat food or take the heart medication. I mean, this is, and then we're giving money away. We're getting rid of necessary satellites. I mean, there's a lot of junk out there, but I would think this is kind of necessary. I'm not for big government at all, but if you have hurricane warning systems that could give people heads up, not that it did us any good here in Western North Carolina when they engineered that storm to come through, but you got something that's worthwhile like this that's now being defunded, hold on to your hat, folks. I mean, I think this is just the beginning, and I'm sure they're going to say, oh, we're cutting spending. You want to cut spending? Start it on foreign aid. Okay, everybody talks about the welfare mom. I'm sick and tired of hearing this garbage. The welfare mom, the welfare mom. You know what? Let's talk about the warfare bankers, because social welfare is dwarfed by corporate welfare, but you'll never hear Pawn Vanity on Fix News telling you anything about that. Yeah, we spend way more money to the big banks and corporate welfare than we ever did on social welfare, but nobody ever tells you about that. You ever wonder why? Yeah, because who's paying those people over at Fix News and MSNBC, all these prostitutes in the media? Folks, I'm getting to the point where, like, I'm going to have Ann Vandersteel on, I think, next week or the week after. I'm not sure which. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff that's going on. Maybe they don't want some of this satellite data going on there, because that law actually kicks into effect in Florida. You know, the state law where they ban chemtrails, son?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're only banned. The state only owns the airspace about 2,000 feet above the ground. So where do you think they're spraying? That's why it's called stratospheric aerosol injections. You know, yeah, not troposphere, you know, the stratosphere. They're spraying it up there because, and I forget what law it is, but Ann's going to come there and she's going to come on at some point and break it down how it hasn't moved the needle one bit in Tennessee. And it more than almost certainly isn't going to move the needle one bit down in Florida. So maybe without that satellite data, people out there like Ariana Masters and a number of others who use those satellites to tell you where the chemtrails are going and how they're hitting you with the next rad radar towers, maybe they don't have a, you know, if they don't have that, you know, they can say, well, we don't have the money for that. Yeah, you got the money for HAARP. You got the money for all these other things that they're doing to us. But, son, let me get off my soapbox, man. Let me get over to your farm news.
Everything kind of blew up while we were gone. Like the garden that I planted a couple weeks ago and just put out seeds and then literally left it. I did it in the rain, and I haven't watered it since, but it's actually kind of blowing up, which is good because I planted everything like 3 months late. So we'll see how that goes. And then the garden in the backyard, it's doing pretty well too. Yeah. And then about to harvest potatoes before too long. I got some tomatoes ripening. And then, yeah, there's just a lot growing in all different directions and also trying to get as much done and plan as much as possible before I leave again to go to KSL and stuff like that. So, yeah, just a bunch in every direction all at once.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like I'm moving from dawn till dusk. I mean, yesterday I was so happy with myself. I was like, man, yeah, man, I've gotten, you know, I make a list every single day. I've talked about it before, this power list. And you put five critical items that you got to get done that day. For days and days and days, I've not been able to complete it. Maybe being a little bit overzealous. Yesterday, not only did I complete that list, I got a few more things that were on my overflow list. And man, I was so happy with myself. So I did something I'm not supposed to do ever. And that's eat ice cream. yeah, eat ice cream in the evening. Now, I can do it midday, but if I do it in the evening, I will wake up with the world's biggest headache. Every blue moon, it feels like I can get away with it. But yesterday, I was so proud of myself. I'm like, man, I'm eating all of this ice cream. So I ate this fig and goat cheese ice cream that I got from a place down the road here that I had, you know, I got a whole freezer, basically. I've been stockpiling this fig and goat cheese ice cream for the longest time. Every time I swing by that place, I buy an extra pint and put it away. Anyway, I said, man, dude, I got everything done. Not everything done, but I really made a good showing today. And so I ate that and then woke up with this massive headache. Of course, didn't sleep well. And so anyway, didn't make that mistake today. Look, I can eat ice cream. I just got to do it midday, and I got to be careful about how I'm doing it. Anyway, I'm doing good right now. All right, y'all, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, you know me. Every time we do this show, y'all, being surrounded by these studio lights, so I got to have my blue light blockers on, but I also got to be grounded. So I'm G'd up from the feet up, and I mean grounded, every single time I do this program. Anyway, redemptionshield.com, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch. Folks, there's a reason why you see me wearing that thing in just about every video, especially when I'm away from the house. Like I'm in the... Yeah, we got you guys one. Your mom.
Yeah, Emily's been using it like crazy.
Yeah, what does she think about it?
She likes it. She likes it. I think she used it on the baby a few times driving back from the house. I don't know that June liked it. She was in a weird mood and was like, "Get this thing off me." But yeah, she uses it all the time. She likes it. That thing has so many doggone settings.
Yeah, and it works. Yeah, your mom absolutely works. And it didn't even occur to me to use it this morning when I was had this headache. But anyway, man, they got settings for just about everything out there, folks. That thing works. And I used it for months before I ever told you about it. And I can't even believe you how much flack I got because people thought I was wearing an Apple Watch. No, it's not an Apple Watch. When you see me wearing that thing in the videos, folks, that is a Wave Watch. Like in that last video I did, you see me wearing it because I'm in town and I got to put that thing on the anxiety setting. Otherwise, I might choke slam some bum that comes up and, you know, decides to, you know, do whatever. Anyway, Billy 100 will get you $100 off that Wave Watch. All right, coming up soon, KSL, that stands for Kentucky Sustainable Living. That's going to be July 18th through the 20th. In fact, right after this interview, William's going to be on with them, and he's going to be doing an interview with Kentucky Sustainable Living. So go check that out. Homesteaders United Jamboree is going to be also coming up August 28th through the 30th. So you can go check them out if that's something you want to look into. All right. So let's get into some good news here. Oklahoma, that's where I grew up, by the way, folks. Oklahoma and state back water fluoridation, citing health risks. How about that? Better late than never. No, I mean, Oklahoma apparently doesn't seem to be the same place I left because, man, it's gotten, people have really woken up concerning certain things. So, man, I would have never figured weed would have been legal there, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, so on the Grindstone building, Bears building on Grindstone, there's a huge flag up in the front of it saying, we don't sell weed, because it says Grindstone or Refuge Medical on there. People apparently kept going in there asking if they sold weed because it says medical on the building. Yeah. Wow. They have full-blown signs saying, we don't sell weed.
Yeah, I would have never figured that happened in Oklahoma. But hey, man, to all you Okies out there, way, thumbs up, man. Way to get that stuff out of there. Yeah, there's a reason why they put fluoride in the water in all the concentration camps. And a lot of people don't talk about the gulags up in Russia. Well, there's a reason why they put fluoride in the water. You know why? And in fact, there was another doctor out there that told me that Prozac. Now, somebody will have to double check me on this. There was a doctor that told me that Prozac was almost completely fluoride. Okay, what does Prozac do? Yeah, not only does it give you a limp noodle, but it also makes you, you know, not caring about what's going on. So you want to stay away from that stuff. Anyway, congratulations to Oklahoma to, you know, moving the needle on that. All right, some other good news here. It's not going to sound like good news, but I'm telling you, folks, it is to me. Trump and AIPAC wage desperate political war on Thomas Massie, inaccurately depicting him as a supporter of genital mutilation. Okay, that's one of many things. Looks like, here's why I'm saying this is good news, is because the bigger the war they put on Thomas Massie, anybody that has any sense out of there knows that Thomas Massie is probably the only honest person in Congress. There may be a couple more. I've had a love-hate relationship with some things about Marjorie Taylor Greene as of late. She seems like she's been saying a lot of good things, but I've seen some duplicity out of her. Thomas Massie, no. Haven't seen any of it. I mean, he's the closest thing to Ron Paul since Ron Paul left. Anyway, I'm hoping, yeah, go ahead, bring your war against him. And I think no matter if elections are at all even slightly honest, there is no way nobody beats Thomas Massie in Kentucky. And honestly, if Trump goes after him, it's going to tell you Thomas Massie is America first. And if Trump goes after him, then people have got to start asking questions about Trump. Because if you look at his appointees and everybody, you look at, you know, Cass Patel and Bongino over there, still not a single arrest. Pam Blondie, absolutely nothing. Nobody's seen anything. All the stuff that everybody was promised, no arrest, no nothing. Epstein pedophile list still out there. Still haven't seen any of that. You've been promised all this stuff. And I'm hoping, go ahead, wage that war against Massie, which I think he's arrogant enough to try to do. And you're going to find out that you're going to lose. And I think people are going to, hopefully the veneer will waste off of this guy. And everybody's going to realize he's not the Teflon Don everybody thinks he is. Because if you look at every single appointee, folks, we've been lied up one side and down the other. And if you go after somebody like Thomas Massie, it should tell everybody what they ought to think about you. Like I said, the only honest person in Congress. Sure is funny that after he started speaking up, the, you know, wasn't short after that his wife died. A little bit curious there. Anyway, some other good news. Yeah. Rediscovering
also. Well, hey, real quick on that Thomas Massie. I don't know how many people know this, but he's like an off-grid farmer in Kentucky, too. He's like completely off-grid. When he goes up to D.C., he has like this whole rig that he puts in the, like in the bed of his truck, in the back of his truck, and just sleeps in like the parking lot and stuff. Pretty interesting dude.
Yeah, pretty honest dude. I mean, he's the only one that isn't sold out. Since you brought it up, everybody think back, all of a sudden, he's on with Tucker Carlson, and he tells him he's the only one basically in all of Congress that does not have an AIPAC handler. What does that tell you? Every single congressperson, doesn't matter, left, right, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. They all have an AIPAC handler except for him. What does that tell you? When long after that, his wife dies. How about that? All right. Rediscovering Nature's Pharmacy. Anyway, I wanted to let you know about a book out there that I need to get myself. It's called Heinemann's Encyclopedia of Fruits, Vegetables, and Herbs. And basically, it's a compendium of exactly what it sounds like. I mean, it's basically, in this world of pharmaceutical reductionism, I guess is the only, pharmaceutical reductionism. Basically, our whole medical model is based on the reductionistic worldview. Okay, you got this problem, we'll give you this pill for it. Well, every holistic solution out there, we need to start gathering, and we need to have it in a, maybe not in an electronic form, but maybe in a form that you can actually turn the pages of and read. So anyway, that's one thing I need to think about getting out there. Rediscovering Nature's Pharmacy, Heinemann's, H-E-I-N-E-R-M-A-N-S, Heinemann, no, apostrophe S. So it's possessive. Anyway, Encyclopedia of Fruits, Vegetables, and Herbs. So that's something to get out there and check out. Because he's also, from what I read in this article, is that it's showing you that when you, okay, for example, let's say oranges have vitamin C, right? Okay, that's wonderful. But those oranges also have other things in there that maybe we don't know about yet that must work synergistically with the vitamin C to make it really, really effective. So the argument is made is that you're better off, instead of eating the reductionistic version of vitamin C, why not eat it in its natural form? Because that way your body recognizes it more. So with the natural herbs and all the other wonderful things out there. So that's something that we all probably have need to have on the shelf. All right. So with that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the United States of Hypocrisy. Since so many people are convinced that the United States are the good guys and are necessary to police the world, I thought I'd ask the bastion of accuracy, Grok AI, all the times the United States has bombed another country. Now, I was also going to include all the times that the U.S. has been involved in regime change, but it was going over 5 minutes. So we'll save that for another day. And this is all post-1945, because apparently Grok decided anything before 1945 was irrelevant. Here we go. Japan, 1945. Korea, 1950 to 1953. Vietnam, 1961 to 1973. Cambodia, 1969 to 1970. Laos, 1964 to 1973. Lebanon, 1983 to 1984. Grenada, 1983. Libya, 1986, 2011, 2015. Iran, 1987 to 1988, 2025. Panama, 1989. Iraq, 1991, 1991 to 2003, 2003 to 2015, and 2014 to present. Somalia, 1993, 2007 to present. Sudan, 1998. Afghanistan, 1998, 2001 to 2021. Yugoslavia, 1999. Yemen, 2002 to present. Pakistan, 2004 to 2018. Syria, 2014 to present. Niger, 2017 to present. That's quite a list. And that's only well-documented, according to AI, list. So when the two countries that can destroy the world 100 times over with nuclear bombs are telling another country what they can and cannot do, it's just nonsense. And to date, the only country that has ever actually used a nuclear bomb, the good old US of A. We need a complete teardown and rebuilding of a system to make any sense. Permaculture can create that system, but it's going to take a long time, it's going to be a lot of work, and it's going to be messy. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. Boy, man, he knocked it out of the park on that one, son.
So basically, continuously everywhere since 1945 is basically what he just said. We're actually bombing everybody everywhere.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, Jesse Ventura, he was highly criticized when he was running for president for the brief time that he was. And of course, they all the chicanery they pulled out of that. Jesse Ventura basically said exactly what Eric said there. And he said, in his, however old he was at the time, he says, there has not been a single day in my life that the United States has not been bombing somebody. And they absolutely decimated his campaign. It was that and that nonsense that didn't happen with Chris Kyle that was manufactured. Anyway, he was highly criticized for that. Folks, I go back once again, if for those that are new here, because we've got new people all the time, check out the book War is a Racket by General Smedley Butler, two-time Medal of Honor winner, would have been the only human ever to win it three times, but he turned it down. And the guy was truly, truly an American hero. But after he got out, it gave him time to think about what he had done and what he, I mean, you look at Smedley Butler when he was rocking and rolling. I mean, there was not a single time, because we're not even counting all the little skirmishes that were in. And like you said, it's post 1945 the list Eric gave. And that's not even counting all the clandestine stuff that is technically not on the books. Look, we have 900 military bases in 130 countries. Do you think that makes us an empire? Yeah, I say it does. Folks, this is exactly what I'm talking about. 900 military bases in 130 countries, but grandmas and grandpas out there trying to, and most Americans that I know of, you know what? I don't know any of the Rockefellers, but most of the people I know right now, nearly all of them are suffering, are having a hard time. And I dare say a lot of you out there right now in the sound of my voice are in the same place. So how do you justify dropping bombs over here when we got grandparents that can't even eat? And these are unnecessary wars. These were wars of aggression based on us. I mean, let's just be honest. Just like Denise wrote in here a little while ago, we are the evil empire. I mean, people, when the history books are written on the United States of Amnesia, folks, we got nothing, nothing on ancient Rome, nothing. We are not, I mean, Rome is not even in the conversation with what we've done and what we're doing. So if we don't get a handle on it, folks, history will not entrust. Well, I'm just going to save that quote for another time. But the bottom line is that history is not going to look well on us. And in fact, it already doesn't. Unless we have some serious revival. And sadly, revival 9 times out of 10 doesn't happen until we have really hard times. And folks, I hate to say it, you heard my prediction for 2025. Son, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, but you did remind me of something. You said revival. Remember a while back when all those like revivals were going on like all over the country, and then there's a super long one? What was that? There was some pattern that I'd found between like revivals and then like maybe war or something like that. It was, I don't know if you remember it or not, but there's like some pattern that I had found where there's like every time there's a revival, we're either going into war or something like that. There was some sort of pattern, but anyway, I would say things have changed in this world drastically since that series of revivals, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, there's definitely a pattern. And then like King Solomon said, it was like King Solomon said, you know, in Ecclesiastes, you know, these things happen. That's why, you know, I tell everybody to go out there and check out the work of the fourth turning. We are in the fourth turning right now, folks, and the things you see unfolding right now are the things that happen in a fourth turning. You have social upheaval. You have wars, rumors of wars. I mean, it almost sounds like Matthew 24. You have all these things that unfold in a fourth turning, and I've talked about it before. You know, you had the American Revolution. 80 years later, what'd you have? Civil War. 80 years later, you have World War II. 80 years later, you have 2025. So you have all these things that happen in these cycles, not exactly 80 years, but, you know, thereabouts. So, yes, son, there's definitely a cycle to all these things. And that's why this is what the hyper-wealthy, this is what they know and what they try to keep away from people like us. But, folks, it can be found. And they use celestial charts and all a bunch of other nonsense. And believe it or not, they're not the atheists they claim to be. These people are very spiritual. Just not in the way that you and I probably are. All right. EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, your number one threat, well, I would have said your number one threat's always going to be lightning on your house, okay? And if anything gets past this thing and Kentucky fries your computer or anything else inside, look, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. find me another transient voltage surge suppressor on the market that can do that, and I'll buy it. You ain't going to find it. Because 9 times out of 10, as a journeyman electrician for almost 30 years, y'all, I'm telling you, they don't exist. EMP Shield is the only one. Get them on your car, your boat, anything out there. So if something jumps off, you can always get to a safe place and keep your place safe. All right. So let's get into it right here. Man, there was a quote here. Yeah. B. Hendrick says, and boy, you said a mouthful right here. When the history books are written, they will be written how it didn't happen. Yes, exactly as Napoleon said, history is a lie agreed upon. That's usually how it goes. And that's why I'm when other people sit down and they have their leisure time, this is what I do. I look at the revisionist history. That's one of the things I do. I want to find out what really happened in the Roman Empire. Look at the work of Anthony Sutton, absolutely intrepid researcher out there. When he came out with what he came out with, like, for example, all the Nazi tanks, what engine, son, if I asked you what engines were all in all the Nazi tanks, what would you tell me?
They were Ford, weren't they?
They were all Ford engines. Ford made all the engines for all the Nazi tanks. Okay. Nobody wants to talk about this stuff, but you're never going to be taught that in mainstream history. Yes. Ford was in all of the Nazi tanks, all of the manufacturing over there. Like I said, you check out Anthony Sutton, you find out the Wall Street funded the Bolsheviks, the Bolshevik Revolution. People want to talk about this Holocaust, but nobody wants to talk about how many people were murdered in the Bolshevik Revolution. I mean, do you have any idea how many millions? I mean, it's crazy when you get down to brass tacks. Nobody wants to talk about who put Mao Zedong in there. We got anywhere between 80 to 120 million Chinese that were murdered. Who put him in there? Yeah, we kicked out his buddy Chiang Kai-shek, and we put him in. It was Kissinger. Yeah, you know that little dirt bag. Anyway, yeah, we did that. So when the history books are written, yeah, I mean, he's right there. When the history books are written, I mean, we're probably not going to get the right stuff. But anyway, yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because even in the Civil War, everything I was taught in school, everything I learned about Lincoln, when I went out there and did the real research, folks, if you think Abraham Lincoln was a wonderful guy, read the book, The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. I sent that book to Joel Salatin, and the next time I saw Joel, we were talking about it, and he was even floored by it, and he's something of a Civil War historian himself. And he was floored that Lincoln actually had these quotes, but they're in none of your mainstream history books. These are directly in Lincoln's own hand. The guy was a complete polecat, and we're told he's one of the greatest presidents. No, he wasn't, folks. He was, you know, supposedly John Wilkes Booth said, "Sic semper tyrannis," mean thus to tyrants. If you read that book, you'll find out he was probably the worst tyrant the America ever had. And you've never been told about it. You've never been told about it. You don't know anything about the real Lincoln because you've never been told about it. But the information's out there. Like I said, read The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. You can probably hear him. He's done a number of podcasts, I think, on the topic as well. But anyway, when I told Joel about it, we were sitting down to eat dinner one day with Joel Salatin. I told Joel about it. He had never heard about it. So I said, "I'll send you a copy." Sent him a copy. Next time I saw him, man, he was like, "Yeah, we had a lot to talk about." I'll put it that way. Anyway,
that would be a good t-shirt. Lincoln was a tyrant, just right in the front.
Yeah, but people are so brainwashed these days. And so was I, you know. I mean, I was brainwashed to believe this stuff. And then when I look at DiLorenzo's work, Tom Woods and a number of others, I'm realizing, hold on, man, this guy, everything I've told about this guy was a lie. Everything. And if you go to the Lincoln Monument in D.C., you can even see some of the quotes right there on the Lincoln Monument telling you what a dirtbag everybody, he freed the slaves. No, if you really knew what he thought about slaves, and the only reason he freed, and by the way, he only freed them in the North.
In the South.
Yeah, yeah.
He only freed them in the South. And only because Cassius Clay, not Henry Clay, it's Henry Clay's cousin, but only because Cassius Clay made him put it in there. Cassius Clay, he's an interesting dude. You also check him out. He's from Kentucky too, but yeah, he's a cool guy, and he made Lincoln put it in there.
Yeah, see, this is the history we weren't we were never told, but folks, when everybody else is sitting there doing whatever they do in their leisure time, when I, whatever little time I have every single night, this is, you know, this is what I do. This is what I'm examining. So hopefully it's a blessing to folks out there. Anyway, we're just going to jump right into it. Sorry to go so sideways here. One of the biggest things is zoning. And I know we've talked about it before, but I want to hit it again, but in a different angle. And I call this one zoning out, why permaculture zones actually matter. Because, son, as a permaculture consultant, what I'm going to ask you something of a rhetorical question. I didn't ask you this before, but nine times out of 10, when you go do a consultation, is the zoning all, is the zoning good or bad in most cases?
It kind of depends on who is running the farm or the homestead. Kind of depends on what profession they're coming from and stuff like that. But sometimes the zoning is very good because it just follows like logic. And then sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all, which is fine because they're getting a consultation and everything gets rearranged anyways most of the time. But yeah, zoning is one of the main reasons people get burned out and fail to do, you know, their homestead or to build their homestead. I did a video a while back saying, and one of the statistics was like most businesses fail within their first 5 years, most small farms and homesteads fail within their first 2 years. And part of the reason is two main reasons is getting too many animals too quickly before you have the infrastructure ready. And also your zoning, like putting things that require constant attention far away from you. And then once it starts, you know, as soon as the weather is not pleasant, then it gets annoying. And then you're like, man, I have to go all the way out here to open my chickens, let them out, and then every evening put them back in, and it's way over here in an inconvenient spot, whereas you could have just put them like maybe right behind your house, and it's way easier to do, or automatic door is an easy one. But like, think of your garden. That requires a lot of attention. Think of your high tunnel. That requires a lot more attention because everything is enclosed, and you have to bring all the inputs to it. Yeah, zoning can make or break a homestead. Deep South Homestead, it probably, like you've said before, has some of the best zoning, and they would have to be able to produce that much food with just those two people.
Yeah. So for the folks that are new to this, folks, zoning isn't government overreach this time. Okay. That's not what I mean by that kind of zoning. It's how you not have to walk 5 miles on your own property, on your own land in a day. And so many people ignore it. I can't even tell you how many, and this is why I don't do consulting, is there's nothing that, I mean, I just don't have the patience for it in terms of going out there, putting in so much effort to explain why you don't put your chickens in zone 5. So let's start about this real quick, do a quick overview of what the zones are. So we got basically zone 0 to zone 5, okay? Yep. All of this, so zone 0, it's basically your living space. It's where you eat, where you sleep. You know, this is where your energy flows outward from that zone, okay? So it's going to be where whatever you live in, whether it's a tent, whether it's a yurt, whether it's a house, whether it's a mansion. Well, if you're living in a mansion, you're probably not listening to this, but, you know, the frequency of use dictates the placement of where things occupy these zones. So zone 0. Now, I got a zone 0.5, which I call, like, maybe the front porch. Okay, we got zone 0, zone 1, zone, but I call zone 0.5, and I mean, I've never heard anybody else look at it this way, but I'm going to call that like your front porch, or let's say it's a covered porch or something like that. That's what I call zone 0.5. Now, if I were living in an earth ship, that would be the greenhouse part that I would call 0.5. So,
well, it would still be 0. It would still be 0 because depending on the model, that's your hallway. You pass by it every time you go to a different room.
Yeah, but I'm for the sake of simplicity, I'm just saying the place where you're actually going to eat and sleep and do all that stuff, we're going to call that zone 0. So you start there. And then, you know, I wouldn't work on my greenhouse inside my earth ship or my front porch before I got my bed set up, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's that greenhouse on the front, on the earth ship, or whether it's your front porch or whatever it looks, you work from zone 0 and work your way out. So many times people make the awful mistake. And yeah, once you get a lot of experience, you can do it this way. But some, what is the benefit of starting with the most concentric? So imagine concentric circles from zone zero being your house, zone one just on the outside, and then zone five being, you know, nature, wilderness, let's say. What is the benefit of putting these things where they belong?
It's just efficient movement. So, and it also, zones aren't necessarily just straight up strict concentric circles either. They follow paths of most, like where you travel a lot. So if you leave every day for work and you come back, then something that counts as like zone one, I would say, or even zone two, is your driveway, because you use that every single day, or maybe even like over by your mailbox as you're checking the mail as you get into the house. Your front garden beds, that would be zone one as well. But things that you already naturally frequent often, that you're not making dead, like if you weren't growing something there, you would already be going there anyway. Those make efficient days, basically. So instead of having a garden that's like half acre big and it's in what we would call zone three, something that you visit maybe a couple times a week, you could put it even closer and have a higher yield because you're able to pay more attention per square foot just by a nature of like frequenting it often, putting it in the way. If you put something in the way, you're forced to interact with it and you're forced to pay it more attention.
So considering that zone one, things that you might consider putting in those places, folks, herbs like salad greens, your kitchen garden, you know, high rotation tasks, things that require, like William said, a lot, the things that require the highest degree of frequency. And folks, I can't even tell you, I mean, some William knows of a doctor, and I do too, who insisted, we've talked about it on this show, it's been a while since we have talked about it, but it's worth mentioning. He put his chickens in zone five and then wondered why the coyotes wanted to blame us, because yeah, the coyotes were eating them up. And we're like, they shouldn't have been out there in the first place. You were told this, and this is another reason why I don't do consultations, is I don't have the bandwidth to deal with that kind of nonsense. I mean, the guy had more degrees than a thermometer, but no common sense at all. And, I mean, this was just one of many colossal mistakes this guy made. So, yeah, you're not going to put your herb garden in zone three. Like William said, maybe put it on the walk that you have from where you park your vehicle to when you go in the house, to where if it needs any maintenance, where as you're walking in, you can go ahead and handle that. Or, hey, man, you know what? I just got home from work. I'm going to get these greens on the way in, you know? There's some things here that are ready to rock and roll. I'll have them for dinner tonight, or it'll be my salad course. Every single day when we do the chores out there, what does your mom do, son? Every time we go out there, I don't know if you know this or not, but every morning she's out there picking stuff in the high tunnel, because based on how we
do.
So she's picking that every single day for me to eat for breakfast or lunch or whatever the case may be. Whatever's fresh, whatever's rocking out there. I got a crap load of cucumbers, more than I can deal with right now. She's probably going to have to make pickles out of some of them. But I'm eating those every day. And where are they? They're in very close proximity of what I need. So let's talk about zone two. Now, zone two is still close, but less needy than zone one. So what are some examples of things you'd put in zone two?
So, like, you could put maybe your kitchen garden, you could put in, like, in your kitchen herbs, you could put in zone one. And then in zone two, you could put more of, like, your staple crops, like the ones that you're going to go out there and harvest once. So you could do, like, your potatoes, your sweet potatoes, your corn, if you did sunflowers, sorghum, anything like that. That would be a good spot for zone two. And getting into zone three, you could even put your perennials over in zone two as well. But perennials can also be put, like, I would put perennial strawberries and blueberries in maybe zone two, and then more of your tree varieties in zone three. Because your blueberries and strawberries, there's a consistent harvest during its season. With a lot of your trees, there's going to be a harvest, like your apples and stuff, there's going to be a harvest all at once, and then you're kind of done. And then also keep in mind your zones can change too. Like you might be grazing your animals in zone two, like your typical zone two for a moment, and then as soon as they leave, that might turn back to whatever zone it originally was before they got there. Or your zone 5 could be wilderness and you're grazing your animals out there. It's zone 2 at the moment, but as soon as they leave, it changes zones again. So keep that in mind. They're not always permanent.
And just like you said a moment ago, there was a time when we first got here, zone 5 was literally 10 feet out the back door of this place because it was a thicket. You could not even see anywhere close to up the side of this mountain. You couldn't do it. I mean, it was an impossibility. You couldn't do it. So that was technically zone 5, but since we've had the pigs go through, they did their work. We terraformed some of it. They did our work. And now, right now, as I speak, the sheep are on this part. So it went from zone 5 because we made it from being a wilderness area that we couldn't really do much with. Now it's technically zone 2 because of its close proximity. And that's exactly where the sheep are right now. So like William said, just to kind of these zones, as you get more experience, they make sense in different places. Like right now, depending on how we do things, and because we have a topography that isn't flat, we live in very rough mountainous country over here. We are literally farming on the side of a mountain and it's steep. Mm-hmm. So rules change a little bit based on our needs. So,
and also real quick, not all properties have all the way up to zone 5 too. Like if you live in a suburban site, you're going to have max like zone 3 maybe. So keep that in mind.
I'm glad you pointed that out. But yeah, in our case, we have zone 0 all the way up to zone 5. And these are not necessarily equidistant concentric circles. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, other things like William said, you got chickens, you got intensive beds. Could even be your compost bins, depending on their relationship to everything. My compost bins are in zone 2, or at least in what I'm calling zone 2. So let's move on to zone 3, because that's the workhorse zone. And, you know, that, like William said, that's going to be your orchards, your pastures, your staple crops, lower maintenance, high return kind of items, you know, where you rotate your livestock, silva pasture, perhaps bulk food production. That a lot of that stuff is going to happen in your zone 3. So consider, and then also consider the relationships. The gateway animal to a lot of people out there is going to be your chickens. So you got to consider those things. Anything you want to add on zone 3, son?
Grazing, again, your orchards, food forests is where I would put zone 3. I wouldn't waste valuable space like in zone 1 to put in a food forest when the whole point of a food forest is that you can eventually neglect it and it's going to do just fine. So kind of think of like the system, the point of the system, and then determine its placement from there, and also how frequently you have to visit it.
Okay, speaking of which, frequencies, that's zone 4. Remember, you're not going to go there much. That's going to be your firewood, your forage crops, nut trees and stuff like that, you know, especially if you got like, you know, pecans and stuff like, it's not like they happen overnight, so they may be wherever they are. Your managed hunting, you know, hunting and stuff like that, that you're going to do in places like that. But if you're like me, look, I will hunt in zone 1 if need be. I was hunting this morning in zone 2, and that was the chicken. So, so, you know, you're going to put in, think of long-term resources, you know, minimal input, maximum yield kind of things, you know, those are things you're going to get there. So those are the things in zone 4. Zone 5, it's your no harvest zone. You just go there and observe, go out there, you walk out there, maybe you go barefoot, and that's where you go to observe things. Now, it may not, like William said, it may not be at your place. You may have to go to a national park. You may have to do, you know, go to some place that's not so. Look, if you ain't learning in zone 5, you're doing it wrong, okay? That's what you're doing there. You're going there to see what you missed and how you want to bring that back. That's honestly how Paul Gauchy came up with the method that he uses, you know, that wood chip gardening. That's how he came up with it, is going in the zone 5 and saying, okay, and I think I'm quoting him when I say he walked out there and said, okay, I want to go out here, see how the good Lord put it in, so I want to see how it's done so I can replicate it. And that's exactly what he does. So, folks, the reason I'm covering this again, believe me, it's not for a lack of topics. It's for a lack of, number one, I get a lot of questions, I get a lot of emails. And when I see a pattern in things people are asking me, I'm realizing we got to go back and cover the basics again. Because nobody's going to go back to episode two when we got 300 podcasts and go find out the thing on zoning, because they don't know what they don't know. And, you know, people are blowing up in this space right now wanting information. So this is why we got to cover it periodically. Go there, examine these zones. And folks, by all means, go out there and get a permaculture education. School of Permaculture has, you know, it's very inexpensive. You can go out there, learn what you need to know, and it's going to be some of the best money you ever spent on your education. I know it's the best money I ever spent. So folks, you can't miss. You can't possibly miss. Anything you want to add, son?
Don't overlook zones. Zones can really make or break a farm. It can make it like a pleasant experience, or it can make it just a complete nightmare. Don't overlook it, but also don't overthink it. Like, yeah, zones change. They can change. You can make them change, or they just change naturally. Don't overthink it and don't overlook it.
One thing I would also add is that I would add another acronym in there. It's called TERMS, T-E-R-M-S, stands for time, energy, resources, money, and the most important one, I think, is sanity. It's an equation. So your TERMS, that side of the equation, should be less than the return on investment, future value, personal growth. And, you know, financial growth, obviously, all those things there. So you can look at all these things. So every time, I mean, how you view your zones should be exactly how you view your terms. And maybe we'll talk about that more in a later episode. But I know William has another interview he's got to go to here in a minute. Somebody says they invited us to go moose hunting. Man, you have no idea. I would love to take a moose. Man. Yeah.
Of all the animals you can ride, the one I want to ride the most is a moose. I know you can't. I know they're not going to like that at all. But if you could domesticate a moose, I would definitely ride a moose around.
Well, when I was up in Alaska, when I saw one for the first time, I was like, you have got to be. I couldn't believe how big those things were. It was like they were bigger than Clydesdales. I was like, what? It was a baby moose. I was up in Fort Greeley in Alaska, and I saw it was just like on TV, like the moose was walking right through town. I was in the school bus. We were going to this place called Black Rapids, and that moose sat as high standing there as I was in that school bus, and we're driving right alongside this little guy, this big guy, this mom, and I was like, oh my goodness, man. Anyway, all I know is if I can get a moose, shoot, yeah, man, I would love to definitely bag a moose. Good night. I'm already having visions of how much meat I could put in this freezer just on one moose. Man,
I want a blanket.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I'd love to stand that high too. All right, y'all. Yeah. Thank you, Denise from Renewed Homestead. Thanks everybody for checking us out. Look, y'all, things are crazy in this world, but look, you got to bring it back to the basics. Things are getting stupid and stupid every single day. So until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.
How it rings with roots that run deep. Wisdom from sowing permaculture dreams. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth. Feeling anxious, We got the answers. All we need to do. Listen to the earth. They got us through. Let's see the shame. Watch the world spin. Smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life where the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the vibe and thrive.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.